All right, fire up the music. It's 14 before 6. Temperature is 0. I don't know. You got a log in the fire, Jason Cans, or what?
No, I'm covered with animals, which is helpful in terms of keeping me warm this morning. So,
aha. Even as you speak to us, who is on you today?
Finn, so our boxer, who's about 6 months old, and Penelope, our kitten, are both laying on me this morning.
So Penelope has returned to the Cans home.
She has. She seems to be doing much better. Still going to be on antibiotics for a while, but she seems to be doing really well.
Hmm. Well, we're winding down 2021, just a few days to go. And I know near the tail end of our discussion yesterday, I was referencing this book called Peace Catalysts from a guy named, perfect name, Rick Love. And I talked some about God as the God of peace, which is very comforting. We're grateful for the peace that we have with God through the work of Christ on the cross, obviously. But there is a word tattooed on you. Is the word shalom tattooed on you or what?
Yeah, so that was my first tattoo, was the word shalom, which is a Hebrew word that, you know, a lot of people think of as meaning peace, and it does mean that, but it's even bigger than that. It's a reference to the way things ought to be. It's a state of kind of peace, love, universal flourishing. You know, as so many of the words that we encounter, they're bigger than what we encounter or think of them as, and so shalom is a concept of, you know, I think what we are all shooting for and what will be realized in the kingdom of God.
Yeah, and so do you actually have the word shalom, or is it like the Hebrew for shalom?
It's the Hebrew. Yeah, it's the Hebrew for shalom.
That's what I thought.
Yep.
What got me thinking about this was in the Chosen Christmas special, one of the characters from the Chosen, and was a female, one of the actresses, she does a spoken word in which she talks at one point about shalom and about how that, like what you're saying about the wonderfulness and the depth of this, and that it's used both as a greeting and a departing. I don't know, and I even thought, it got me thinking, like, should we start the morning with the begin and end with shalom? You know, I don't know.
Yeah. You know, there's something to be said for that. You think of those words that people have used to greet one another, and it's not merely formality, I think, a lot of times, or maybe we make it as a formality, but, you know, truly wishing for shalom for others, you know, to say, I really want you to have not only peace, but to live in a place where things are as they should be. Because as we look around the world, it sure doesn't feel that way. And yet we, with hope, can remind one another that that's the direction we're headed.
Yeah. So just kind of so here's what Rick Love says about it. He says the second foundation stone of peacemaking is the peace or shalom of God. Shalom, a Hebrew term for peace, which we said. And he says a quick review of the 250 or so occurrences of shalom in the Hebrew scriptures shows that God's peace is multidimensional and comprehensive, like we've been saying. And here's what he says. This one word has been variously translated as peace, prosperity, success, well-being, safety, welfare, health, deliverance, salvation, and completeness. So with that in mind, it just seems like whether it's the greeting or the departure, saying, how can you're packing a lot into one word, right? You're certainly wishing well for the person. So,
yeah, absolutely. You know, and I agree. I think and it's good for us when we encounter, you know, in our Bible reading, Greek words or Hebrew words, to really be thinking about, what am I missing? What's the fullness of the word? It's just a great way to think through that. You know, we've talked about the concept of Hesed, which means God's loving kindness, you know, and, you know, there's so many words like that where we can really press in to know what is being communicated even more deeply than we already do.
So I'm going to send you off this morning wishing you Hesed and shalom, okay?
Shalom. Absolutely.
All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Jason Cans, WWIB, author of Letters to the Beloved, the devotional commentary, took him 6 years to write. Learn more at jasoncans.com or on Amazon. It's a chilly 2 Below, and just getting to work today, you feel like you should get a prize, an award, some recognition. Maybe a statue is a little much or a parade, but Susan, it's an accomplishment to get here today.
I'm here to give everyone who's getting up this morning and getting out there, I'm giving you award, the Perseverance Award,
yes,
the Grit Award, the Mental Toughness Award.
Way to go for working when a lot of people are holidaying. I just made that word up.
We got this, you guys. We are tough. We're Wisconsinites.
There's a milestone event in your family today.
My mother and father are married 60 years today.
Wow, that is awesome.
Joan and Jerry Rush. If you know them,
yeah,
tell them happy anniversary.
Absolutely. And I already saw your Facebook post.
Oh, nice.
And said happy anniversary. I said, I love working with your daughter, Susan.
Oh,
so there you go.
Thank you.
So happy birthday to them.
And you
happy
know,
anniversary. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Was born within a year, so
and the thing is, like, I mean, the idea is like 50 is quite an accomplishment, but 60 is
wow. And they love each other more every year.
That's awesome.
It's great. They just love each other.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, happy anniversary to them today.
Thanks
well.
For acknowledging that.
Oh, absolutely. I waited for you to make the big announcement.
This is a story not about your daddy, it's about a mummy. Amenhotep I.
The puns begin early in this segment.
I love Egyptology in Egypt and ancient Egypt, and this is a really cool story. Egyptian scientists have digitally unwrapped a 3,500-year-old mummy.
Wow.
And digitally means that they took a ton of x-rays of Amenhotep I without unwrapping him, because that's the thing with our ancient artifacts now. They try not to disturb them. So there have been a ton of x-rays and digital technology, and they have been able to find some really cool images of Amenhotep I. He actually was Pharaoh of Egypt, I think. Okay, I just lost that on my phone. But anyway, the scientists found...
You could say whatever.
You
wouldn't know.
It was like 1500 BC, I think it was. But the scientists found that the pharaoh was around 35 years old, about 5.5 feet tall. He had a narrow chin, a small narrow nose, curly hair, and mildly protruding teeth. People say he looked like his father.
Oh. I just think that's fascinating.
It is.
How much they can discover about, you know, again, height and features and all that stuff. How many years ago?
Yes. I think it's really cool. And they were able, in the wrapping, they put a lot of gold amulets and charms and things. So through the x-rays, they were able to see all of this. And say what you will about technology and science, but this is one thing which I think is amazing.
That really is.
What do you
incredible.
Think, Mark?
I'm left speechless. Yeah, I think that he had to. How would he feel if he knew that thousands of years later we would talk about his teeth?
Right. They said that even the tiny bones inside his ears were preserved.
Wow.
It's just, God's amazing.
3,500 years ago.
Right. His name means Amun is satisfied, and his throne name was Jeskare. Holy is the soul of Re.
And the scientists found 30 amulets and a unique gold girdle within the wrappings.
Yeah. Huh. And I love how that's all being preserved, and they're going to take this technology and look at all the mummies that they found now.
I feel like the takeaway from this is that 3,500 years later, we're talking about the dude's teeth, and mom's everywhere like, see? See?
I know.
This is why I tell you to brush.
You're so funny. You're right.
As we wind down 2021 on this December 29th, in some ways, the WIB Wake Up Show kind of had a rebirth on March 15th when Susan arrived.
Oh.
No,
yes, really.
Indeed.
I mean, right? I mean, we just kind of like, wow. So the year kind of started for our
show.
It
was the third leg of the stool that we didn't have.
Exactly.
We didn't know why things were so wobbly.
Caleb and I, you know, yes. And so we always run the risk of it becoming a sports talk show if it's just him and I.
True.
But you know your share, that's for sure. And so in August, I was away. One of the more memorable shows of the year, I was not here. I was actually in Green Bay with my friend Bob from Rice Lake, and we were checking out the Packers and everything. But I heard part of your show, and I'm like, this is a great show. And you guys remember what the question was?
I think it was like something about if you could be in any TV show.
Right. If you were trapped in a TV show for a month, which one?
Oh, right.
And you got some you had some great discussion. My son Dawson was here. I had a Wally Pipp moment. I'm like, if I don't get back, he's going to take my job. And so we've gathered. We always love to make the listener the star. 2.5 minutes of what listeners had to say and some discussion from our end as well to that question.
Well, if I was stuck in the TV show for a month, I think it would have to be Doctor Who, because I am a Whovian, and I just love Doctor Who, and I'd love to be stuck in that TV show forever.
This is Sherry from Fairchild. I think it'd be really cool to be hanging out with The Office crew for a month. Those people look like they have a lot of fun at work, practical jokes, lots of stuff going on. Not a whole lot of working, but I think that would be super fun.
So Jamie Kleicher from Boyd. I know it's not really a TV show, it's not really a radio drama, but Adventures and Odyssey. So I would love to hang out with Wit and be able to go to the Imagination Station. Thanks. Bye.
I think that, yeah, it's not quite the rules. It's not a TV show, but Adventures in Odyssey did have some movies as well. So
right.
I think it counts.
A short-lived animated series. He mentioned the Imagination Station. I don't know how familiar this group is with Adventures in Odyssey, but I grew up with it. And the concept of the Imagination Station in its own right is fascinating.
The only reason I didn't want to go on the Imagination Station is because I always thought they were spinning, and I didn't like spinning things.
That's true. They, like, they never care to explain how it works. And I think there's like a plethora of episodes where it goes badly. But the concept, I guess it's just perfect VR, essentially, where you're able to experience truly and perfectly what another time was like.
I love it.
Yes, I'm Rick Flynn, and I just called in about the TV series Combat. I would like to be on for 30 days as they liberated Europe with Sergeant Vic Morrow, who led a squad of men throughout Europe and against the Nazis during World War II.
The TV show that I would like to be stuck in is Little House on the Prairie. Growing up with that show, it just taught such great life lessons. It was so simple. The life was so simple, and I think now we take it for granted, the electronics and how we've progressed with the future, and we are spending less time as a family and less time communicating as a family. So I think it would be great to go back to that and see all those life lessons and how wonderful life was back then.
I would like to be on the show Bonanza. I think it would be fun to be in the Ponderosa Ranch with Pa, Hoss, Adam, and Little Joe.
And I'm sure John would introduce them to Phillips, Greg, and Dean.
Yes, right? He would.
Thanks for finding that, Mark.
Yeah,
that was way back in August.
August 19th, yeah.
I loved hearing the voices of our listeners.
I know.
And they're so creative. They reminded me of shows I didn't think of. And I thought, I want to live in that show. No, that
one. Well, see, now I remember somebody on Facebook that day said, yeah, I want to be on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire for a month, because then my odds would be pretty good.
We have seen that call, but once or twice all year long, and twice already in the first half of this game.
See how heat does come out of the top of your head? Look at it. Just coming off of Nate's head there. That's where it escapes. If you have heat in your body and you want to let it out, you take your hat off.
Yeah. What an icon.
Yeah. And what a loss. John Madden dead at the age of 85 on the heels of this much-promoted special that had aired on Christmas Day on Fox, and I guess they're going to re-air it. John Madden dead at the age of 85 today. And so many reasons to love this guy. I mean, love the game of football, which is number one in terms of TV ratings, in terms of sports in America. He led the Raiders to a Super Bowl win over the Vikings in their last appearance in the Super Bowl. I still remember it. It was January of 77. And then he left coaching. And what a broadcaster.
I mean, the only broadcaster to work for all four major networks. Yeah, no one else has ever done that.
Well, and some quick stories I picked up on this morning. CBS initially, who he was with, and they had the NFC, and he was like, hey, I want to go to practices. And they're like, well, John, we actually don't go to practices. He's like, no, that's where stuff happens. I want to go to practices. And lo and behold, they changed it. I'm like, oh, yeah, we're going to go to practices. Not only him, but I'm like, that became standard fare for broadcasters. So he led the way. Later with Fox, he was like, we need to show where the first down marker is. Madden was behind that. there was a time you'd watch the NFL on TV and you didn't have that. Now it's just a given,
that yellow
right?
line, you just...
Yeah. And lastly, with the Madden video game, they had the technology years earlier to do, like, hey, we could do this with, like, 7-on-7. He's like, no, if we can't do 11-on-11, I don't want to do it. I mean, what a guy.
Well, what I love about him is that he, because he went to the practices, you got a so much richer experience when you would listen to him call the game, because he knew all the backstory. He knew what was going on and where people's vulnerabilities were. I just thought I could listen to him read the phone book. He's very interesting.
Right. He had the knowledge and the passion, right?
Yeah.
He had them
right.
both.
And
for
that
sure.
made me passionate about it.
Right.
Boom.
Exactly. And I think there are three things that stick out to me about John Madden that just jump off the page. And one was not when he was broadcasting, but it was the commercial. Boom! Tough acting tonight.
Right.
It was a foot spray for athlete's foot.
That's right.
It was so iconically John Madden, the way he did that. And then the second thing would be turducken. And so that was every Thanksgiving
again.
The chicken and the turkey and the duck put together, and then would give, like, the players, the MVP of the game, a leg of that turducken. And then the third thing was his love for our quarterback, for Brett Favre. Mm-hmm. Because there was just something about a broadcaster when he loved the player, not trying to be biased, but you could just tell he loved the way Favre played the game.
Right.
He found a kindred spirit in a guy who had fun and was passionate. And so, like, you could just hear it when he talked about Brett Favre. And like, that's something was so cool as a Packers fan growing up, where it's like, man, I feel like this guy loves our quarterback as much as we do.
Yeah.
So.
Right. And he didn't fly. He took the Madden Cruiser, right? From the Madden
bus. Oh, I didn't know
that. Yeah, he didn't
Interesting.
Fly.
Interesting.
Yeah. So many kids probably growing up, it's like Madden. Oh, yeah, the video game.
Yeah, right.
But, the man. So passed away at the age of 85. And, of course, our prayers for God's comfort and peace for his family. But, man, what a legacy. I heard people saying, man, he could have gone into the Hall of Fame three times.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So. Really, really incredible.
Well, rapid fire is something we've had fun with here with various guests over the years. One of the first times you and I started doing the show, we had Senator Ron Johnson did rapid fire. And the memorable thing was what from his interview?
Lucky Charms.
I know.
His favorite breakfast cereal, Lucky Charms.
Yeah. And he gets the extra marshmallows and stuff. So anyhow, on Susan's first day with us, we said, really, it's kind of like our year started on March 15th, the Ides of March. As Susan began with us. And in hour two of her debut show, we did rapid fire with her. It sounded like this.
What's your favorite place to vacation?
Beach, water, any coast.
What's the last book you read?
Green Lights by Matthew McConaughey.
20 below zero or 90 degrees and humid?
20 below zero inside.
Go-to snack food?
Pizza.
What's your least favorite household chore?
Laundry.
What was your best subject in school?
English.
Favorite sports team?
Packers.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
What? No.
Yes.
Dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Have you ever cried during a movie?
Yes.
What's a song you will always sing along to?
I know. Oh, God, you are my God.
Awesome, guys. Yeah, good. Favorite outdoor activity?
Tennis.
Best breakfast food?
Coffee with cream.
There you go. Tennis food. Rapid fire with Susan way back in March, right?
You still agree with all those?
Yes, I still agree, except not the most recent book I've read.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So still anyway. The pineapple and pizza is a point of differentiation between...
And Baylor Wilson loves pineapple. Everybody loves it. I don't.
We're looking forward to more rapid fires to come. But great to be reminded again, man, we've just had such a great time with Susan this year.
I know it. It's our last few minutes together for this year. Hey, let's do it again in 2022.
Let's do it.
Shall we?